Well, this year we've taken as our theme creative adventure, and creative journeys are what we feel the arts is about in relation to our audiences. We think that going to a theatre performance, going to an exhibition, taking part in a workshop, sends people on a journey that shows them that the world can be other than as it is. There's almost a kind of a messianic approach to this. And so we're launching today in Central Station, because one of our biggest events is a thing called, from Brisbane, called I Think I Can, which is the amazing company Terrapin Theatre. They've been travelling around the world with this. It's its first time in the UK and Ireland. And I Think I Can is one of those ones that, you know, is it a piece of theatre? Is it an interactive thing? Is it an exhibition? Is it a display? It's kind of all of those things rolled into one, and it's going to be running for every single day of the festival, completely free of charge for all of Northern Ireland to come down and see. That's one of our really big things. We think that it is a transporting experience. And I Think I Can has messages in it about community, about how we're all connected together, how our stories weave with other people's stories in order to make our society, and make our society imaginative, make it beautiful, make it hopeful. So that's kind of what we're about this year. I mean, I think we've always been about this, but I think we're nailing our colours to the mast, front and centre, and saying, this is about going on a journey, this is about going on an adventure, and this is about stepping beyond what you know and going into the unknown.
And if the festival didn't exist, there would still be some arts events and cultural things for children, but actually not with the same focus or not with the same impact?
I think if the festival didn't exist, there have always been artists who make good work for children in Northern Ireland. There have always been really passionate, really dedicated people who are highly creative, who create projects that work with children. I think what the festival does, and does pretty uniquely, is it puts it into a very large international scale. It puts it onto a map. It certainly put Northern Ireland on the map in the last 18 years. I would like to think that I've had a hand in that. I think that the work itself stands out. We've made an effort within the festival to use the festival as a showcase, as a platform for local artists. Mm-hmm. So there are many people who have been working with children in Northern Ireland for many, many years who've received opportunities to travel and to have their work internationally recognised as a result of being in the festival.
Because it gives it a badge that then helps them and apply other places.
The whole idea of this being, and I think people can trip off the tongue, this is an international festival, very, very easily. But I think when you think about it in relation to children, a child won't necessarily understand. Children learn diversity, and children learn difference. They don't start thinking, oh, that person is different from me. We're very interested in what happens when you introduce children to the idea that other people see the world differently because they're in another part of the world, or they're from another part of the world. So the idea of bringing artists from Switzerland, from Norway, from where else this year? Australia. You know, and the work that is going to be seen from Australia has actually been in South Korea, and it's been in the US, and it's been in Germany, and it's been the Netherlands. The idea of doing that, I think, is about introducing another way of looking at multiculturalism. I think children they don't have a lot of the inhibitions that adults have. They are very open to quite abstract and quite complex concepts of narratives and stories and themes of human emotion. They really understand things from an instinctive point of view. They're instinctive audience members and instinctive artists and instinctive participants. I think as we grow up, we tend to start to code everything and say, right, that goes in that pigeonhole and that goes in that pigeonhole. And we come up with responses. The number of adults who told me in the last 10 years, you know, oh, I'm not creative, or oh, I don't understand theatre. And I kind of think, well, actually, that cannot be true. Because when you're a child, you understand everything, or you understand what you don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I feel very passionately that our children are not only our most challenging audience members, but they're also the ones most open to experimentation. And having things like, you know, we have Maiden Voyage this year performing for the second time in 3 years, and they hadn't made work for young audiences up until 3 years ago. The last time they performed, they had Enrique Cabrera, who is one of the world's top choreographers in performing for young audiences. This year, they're working with Alicia Drennan, who's from Northern Ireland, and they're creating a new piece of work, and it is going to be a piece of contemporary dance. And we know from the festival that, you know, while loads of people are talking about contemporary dance being hard, it's been hard to find audiences and things like that, we know our shows sell out because families and schools now understand that dance is a really interesting way to communicate with children. And dance is an amazingly powerful device. It's an amazingly powerful art form. And children respond to it and talk about it, and they see signals within the performance that they can take back into their home and back into their classroom and discuss with their teachers and with their parents afterwards.
Over the years, you've done some stuff with, you've actually started with babies and actually done something baby rave and things that,
yeah,
that came out through the festival.
Baby rave is my baby. In my second festival in 2005, we could see that we had people coming to us with 4 and 5 year olds. And we weren't really ready to... We had nothing. We couldn't find anything that we could use that would actually bring in that younger age group. And I was being quite... I was quite interested in it. I had a very young child at the time. Mm-hmm. And was trying to see what is it if I was a parent? As a parent, what would I want? And one of the things I thought was that I wanted something very freestyle. I wanted something that was very sensory. I was reading a lot about sensory play. I know there's a lot of thinking has gone through that now, and a lot of things have been written about, you know, what the infant brain is doing between the ages of 0 and 4. And, you know, work like the company, like Replay, who are performing in the festival this year with Susan and the Lullabugs, they have been working in that field. We've had star catchers come over in the past to talk about it. But the baby rave comes from that. And what we didn't realise when I first brought a team together to make it was that nobody had done a baby rave. And subsequently, we got to go and travel around the world.
It became a thing.
Well, it became a thing. And it also, you know, we were the fastest selling act in the Adelaide Fringe Festival in 2007. We sold out in 30 seconds, I think, something like that. The youngest we've ever had was 5 days old. That's our record, if anybody has brought a younger baby. But mother was overdue. But it does something. It does something for parents, it does something for the babies, mm-hmm. It does something for what that relationship is between the parent and the child. It's the only event in the festival where we sell more tickets for adults than for children, because it's a uniquely two-parent event. Mm-hmm. You get young couples, lots of first-time parents coming along, and they really engage with it. They engage with dancing. You know, it's dancing, and it's visuals, and it's design, and it's really well-selected music, and it's very safe. And it's very informal, and people can come in and out in the course of an hour. That works, and that gets people with us who haven't come across us before, and then they stay with us on a journey.
Do you see those children then growing up through the festival?
Yeah, yeah.
That actually the parents keep coming back with them?
The first baby ravers are now, the very, very earliest baby ravers are now finishing primary school.
Uh-huh.
And so we still have people coming along, and we have people who are coming, who are going. The festival goes up notionally to about 14 years old. Mm-hmm. So we now have the first baby ravers are beginning to get too old for the festival. And I suppose my big challenge then is, okay, so whose responsibility is that?
Who's going to pick them up?
Who's going to pick them up? And what provision is there for the kind of 14 plus? Because there's a finite limit as to what one small charitable organisation with quite a lot of, you know, fundraising to do every year can do. And what I do know as a parent of a 14-year-old now is 14-year-olds don't want to hang out with 4-year-olds unless they're getting paid.
And the word children in children's festival is probably going to start.
And that was a conscious decision. We were the Young at Art Festival, and we became the Belfast Children's Festival.
Yeah.
We've always worked with young people up to the age of 18, but the festival isn't the vehicle through which we do it. And that's something that we're working on for the long term. But the festival itself is actually very much about a celebration of what we do from infancy. Where do we start? How do we get children early and instill in them an idea that the creative thinking they are naturally born with needs to be retained and nurtured for their whole lives?
So instilling this kind of creative nature in things isn't really helped by government funding, by the difficulty to actually get the grants and get the income to...
I mean,
as a festival, if you were to charge full price with no subsidy at all, then
if we charge full price, the most expensive ticket we have in the festival this year, I think, is something like £13. There are a huge number of free events. We have Big Days Out, which is a new programme that we're running, which is about trying to get people to see some of the great venues we have. And there's Big Day Out happening in the Mac, there's one happening in the Lyric, there's one happening in the Strand, and there's one happening up in the Duncairn Arts Centre up in the Antrim Road. And most of what's going to happen in those spaces is going to be free of charge for the whole of the weekend of the festival. We have free exhibitions on. We have David Turner's amazing toy exhibition happening in Castle Court. It's a free site, open 6 days. We have I Think I Can, that's free. If we actually introduce charges, every single person who took part in something for the festival would have to pay about £30. So we're meeting them so far. Kind of, we know that people are struggling. We know that there are a lot of families under pressure. We also know that there isn't a habit of going to arts events with your children. People think about, you know, engaging the arts as going to Panto, and there's a place for that. But actually, to develop children as a year-round experience, these experiences are the stuff of lifetime memories. I still have, you know, people in, you know, like 10 and 11-year-olds come up to me at the festival, and they talk to me about things that they saw when they were 3 years old. Now, you would think that that can't happen, but it does. And I think that that is the short-sightedness. That is where there is, I think, a tendency towards short-term pressures versus long-term investment. And nobody in the art sector is looking for handouts. In fact, we all work extremely hard for our money. But what we are looking for, and what I think Young Art is looking for, is some really realistic investment that actually says, this is a value, this is an experience for not just this generation, but the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. And it's a fundamental entitlement. It's within the Convention of Human Rights, the right to cultural entitlement. It is no different to what any other child experiences. But in Northern Ireland, we are way behind where cultural provision could and should be for children. And if anything, I think that there's a kind of a spreading the butter very thin approach, which has said that every child will have some element of experience, and there's not enough time being spent looking at the quality of that experience, the duration of that experience, what sits in, what kind of support they get within the school system, what support they get within the youth sector. And as an organisation, we've had, I'd say, two or three of the most challenging years we have had in 18 years. And it's a really sad thing when you look at an 18-year-old organisation that has been on an upward trend, that has been growing and growing and growing, is that last year, because of the in-year cuts, we saw our numbers roll back a bit for the first time. And it's largely because the free events had to be cut. Or, you know, bringing an international show costs a certain amount of money, and if we don't have that money in the kitty and we can't offset it with ticket sales, then it doesn't come. And you need a certain number of shows to have a festival, and there isn't another way to slice it. There's so many other things have already been cut. There's so many different elements. There's so much fundraising has been done. All of the education programs are all financed through private trusts and donations. There are sponsors getting involved. We've got TransLink on board, Castle Quarter on board. We've got all these other businesses. Easton's have got on board with their literature program. All these amazing, amazing private sector businesses are stepping up to the plate. But they will not replace statutory investment. And that's the real shame. There is no statutory provision for the arts in Northern Ireland. There is no core baseline. And there is an assumption that that will always be there. And the reality is, it won't.
You're stepping down as director of Young Adult Art and as kind of festival director after 12 years. Mm-hmm. As you look back, what are some of your... What are the kind of big highlights?
In terms of the festival, I think some of the big moments... I mean, when I came into the organisation, they had to have 5 years of... I didn't set it up. It had nearly 6 years of really, really imaginative, creative work. Some amazing things happened. And the bringing into being of Young Adult Art as an organisation was an incredible thing. Since I've taken over, I think one of the things is I think it's become a very strategic organisation. I think that we've developed a huge number of partnerships, and I count some of those really, really strong relationships that we've developed with companies and galleries and artists and venues as something that I feel really proud of, and the level of honesty that those relationships have. And I think that's all to the good, because I think it's been about thinking about what are we doing this for and who are we doing this for. So I think that's one of the things I'm really, really proud of. There are always the moments. I mean, you don't do this job for as long as I have done without needing... It's almost like a little fix of seeing the audience react. I kind of throw back to, you know, I think it was in the Black Box in something like 2007 or 2008. It was 2007. We had a show called Egg and Spoon, which was our first international piece of work for 0 to 3-year-olds. And everybody who saw it just could not get over the complexity of it and the response of really small babies. So I think that was the first ever baby wave, and realising that we had struck creative gold. The Arca La Danza performance last year, and watching, you know, 200 and something people jump jump out of their seats at the end, and Enrique Cabrera, the choreographer, walking on stage with his video camera and then posting it online, showing what audiences in Northern Ireland thought of this amazing piece of work. And people came to see it 2 and 3 times.
That's what you're going to miss.
Well, I haven't left all that behind yet. I'm on to other shores. But I mean, things
like
that.
Things
like, you know, the first time we went in to do a really large scale collaboration in the Waterworks Park, working with the local community, working with New Lodge Arts, and we spent 2 years talking about it and a year and a bit working on it. And then we had a moment where for 2 days we transformed what was an interface area, and it became a place for children that had creative work in every possible way. You know, we dyed the duck pond, we hung stuff from the trees, we had an outdoor cinema. You know, those kinds of things are the stuff that I will take with me as things I achieve. Land of Giants, the, you know, whatever, 18,000 people watching over 500 people in 45 minutes that took 2.5 years to develop. Jeremy Deller's Sacrilege, the Banksy Stonehenge, that appeared in Belfast for 1 day. It was the only place that appeared in Northern Ireland during the Olympiad. Those are the kinds of things I think, in terms of artistic punch legacy, that I feel really proud of. Fighting Words that we set up last year, that's now going, and it now looks like it's secure for at least another 12 months. That's, I kind of go, yeah, okay, you did all right.
Your legacy, the legacy of the organisation, kind of carries on.
Yeah, and I think one of the really important parts of that has been not only just the myriad of different people who work with the organisation over the years, and a sense of camaraderie around making it happen, but also I think a real honest sense of who are we doing this for? Because survival, we came to a decision with the board of directors, you know, even 10 years ago, survival was not good enough. Keeping in business is not worthy of merit. You know, keeping the doors open when so many people are on the brink of closing their doors is not good enough. You have to be good. You have to be good for your audiences. You have to know what's coming up on the horizon. You have to see how your audiences are evolving. You have to see who's not coming and try and find ways of making sure they come. You have to be able to articulate purpose. And if you don't do that, then you shouldn't be doing it.
And if people want to find out about Belfast Children's Festival and see the programme, if they look at your website, which is
youngatart.co.uk, the website has everything you could possibly want, and there's also a box office line, so if you have special queries, if you have any kind of special needs or whatever, you can phone the office and we will talk through. We have special relaxed performances for children with autism and different behavioural needs, and various other kind of special support programs for schools. Youth clubs can come along, we have special rates for them, so anybody can contact us as well.
4th to the 9th of March. All the very best.
Thank you.